Good morning.
Good morning.
Aren't you thankful to be here in such a beautiful morning?
Yeah. Amen.
If you're sitting on the inside of the pew, would you please take the friendship register and fill it out and pass it down so we can get a record of your attendance this morning? And there are a couple of announcements so we're going to bring attention to. One is immediately after church today, we've got a missions committee meeting. And we're going to meet in the Covenant classroom, which is down in that end of the hall, down where you go into the pastor's study area. And also, this past Friday night, we had a movie night here. And if you didn't come, you missed a good movie. Yeah. Let me tell you, it was very, very enlightening movie, and it held your attention from the beginning to the end. And so if you get a chance, I'd really recommend you come to the next one. Also, don't forget Wednesday night Bible study, and we're currently studying 1 Corinthians. And is there any other announcements? Okay, if not, would you take your bulletin and turn to the inside cover, and let's do the unison greeting that's printed there together. And it reads,
"Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing."
Now let us all make a joyful noise unto the Lord, which we just read. So if you would, please stand. and we'll do the call to worship.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning just praising you and thanking you for the privilege of being here in your house to worship. We ask, Lord, that your presence be with us, be with those who couldn't be here this morning for whatever reason, and just help us as a church, Lord, to come together and worship you corporately. We now ask that you bless each and every one here and each family that's represented. Forgive us of our sins. In your name we pray. Amen.
We have a special couple coming in. They're back from Florida. Yay, the Jussics are back. We know it's getting to be summertime. So, all right, if you would now turn to hymn 125, Come Christians Join and Sing. Please be seated. And as you know, we're going through the shorter catechism this morning. We're going to do three questions. It's 3, 4, and 5. I'll do the question, you do the answer that's printed in bold. Question 3. What do the scriptures principally teach? What is God? Are there more gods than one?
There is only one God, the living and true God.
And as we come to a time of tithes and offerings, I'd like to read 2 Corinthians 9:6. And it reads, "Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." At this time, the ushers come forward and take our tithes and offerings. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you bringing these tithes and offerings and are so thankful that we can give a portion back to you that you so graciously give us. We ask, Lord, that you let us use these funds wisely to further your kingdom here locally and abroad. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
We have the great opportunity as we come together in the name of our Lord to pray for those who are in need, to pray for those situations that we find around us, knowing that our God is a sovereign God. So by faith, we come to him as his people. Let's bow as we pray together. Our gracious Lord and almighty Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that we serve an almighty God. That, Lord, when we look at the weakness of men, when we look at our own weakness, we wonder, what is man that you're mindful of him? And yet, Lord, you are, and we are so grateful and thankful that you care about us. Our Father, we do come to you as weak people, as weak individuals with our needs. And Lord, we pray for those here in our congregation this morning that are facing physical problems and physical illness. And Lord, we know that especially at this time of the year, there are those who are suffering from allergies and difficulties. And Lord, we pray and ask that your hand would be with them, that you would help this air to clear out so that we could avoid some of these allergies that we suffer with. Our Father, we pray also for our music director, John. And Lord, we ask that you would continue to heal his back. We ask, Lord, that you would strengthen him and bring him back to us, Lord. We miss him so much, and we pray and ask that you would heal him physically. Lord, also for Leanne Adams, Lord, who's undergone knee surgery this week, Lord, we pray that you would help her with the pain that she's going through after the surgery. And we ask that you would help her through this time and give her comfort in these hours, in these moments, and also Tim as he takes care of her. Father, we pray for those others here in our midst, in our congregation who are suffering physically, and we're grateful and thankful that you are the great physician, that you're the one that we can turn to, and we thank you for our doctors and nurses, but we know that you are the healer, and so we call upon your name to heal your people. Father, for those who are here this morning under emotional stress and difficulty with problems, maybe financial problems or family problems or emotional issues. And Lord, we pray that in all of these things that we would have the freedom to cast our anxieties onto you, knowing that you care for us. Our Father, we also pray for our nation, for the United States of America. And there, our hearts are grieved, Lord, as we see the situations that are developing around us. And we can only call upon you to help us and to encourage us. Lord, we want with all of our hearts, once again, to be one nation under God. And we call on you and on your name to let this happen. We ask for a revival of spirit here in this country, that you would touch hearts and bring us back together again as one. Father, we pray for the situations that are emerging around the world. And certainly we remember the people who are there in the Ukraine, those people who are suffering, families being ripped apart, and the damage that it's doing to people. Lord, we ask and pray that your spirit would be there, that this would be the opportunity that many of them might call upon you as their Lord and Savior. Lord, we pray for this church. We pray for Malvern Hills Presbyterian Church, that, Lord, you would help us to stand strong, that we would be a light in darkness, that we would continue to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ from this pulpit. And again, we thank you and praise you that you are a merciful God. And we ask your Holy Spirit to be here this morning to touch each one of our hearts and to draw us closer to you as we draw closer to one another. And we thank you and praise you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you would get your hymnals back out again and turn to 177 and stand while we sing praises to God.
Thank you.
Now that's really a hymn of victory right there. Please turn in your Bibles to our scripture reading for this morning, and it's found in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, and I'm reading verses 1 to 13. This is Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verses 1 to 13. And hear now the word of God. For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to reap what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to fear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What gain has the worker from this toil? I have seen the business that God has given to the children of man to be busy. He has made everything beautiful in its time, and he has put eternity in a man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. I perceive that there is nothing better for them than to be joyful and to do good as long as they live, and that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all of his toil, for this is God's gift to man. And may God add to our understanding this passage from his holy word. When I started reading that, some of you may have thought that that was from the Birds song. But it's not. That is Bible. That is scripture. You know, there's something, a kind of a fad that's been building over the years, and it's really reaching some tremendous heights in this day and age, and it's something called virtual reality. And some of you may be familiar with it. This is kind of a phenomenon that's been developing over the last several years. You know, there's something called gaming, and there are gamers, these individuals that play computer games, and these games have become so intricate, and the graphics have become so powerful that it's phenomenal if you've ever looked into these things. Virtual reality, and I happened to look this up as far as a definition of that so that we'd all be on the same page. But the definition is a computer-generated environment with scenes and objects that appear to be real, making the user feel that they're immersed in their surroundings. You know, in virtual reality, people will put on these headsets or goggles, these type of goggles, and they cover everything. All the senses are covered, even smell is covered in this virtual reality. And they'll go on these journeys or on these trips. Now, I happened to watch this one time. I stood off at a distance while people had these headsets on, and they would be walking around, and you'd see them moving very carefully, and they would try to step up on things because they were seeing things virtually that weren't actually there. It's an amazing thing, and the technology has increased to the point that this is, it's really beyond anything that we could imagine. In fact, it's so realistic that people get immersed in this and they lose touch with reality itself. There's something that came out, in fact, this past Wednesday, there was an article that came out, and it's a group called Marxant Cloud. And it's claiming that it is fully immersive experience that obscures the natural world. Now that came out just this past Wednesday. And people are flocking to this, buying these headsets costing thousands of dollars so that they can participate in this virtual reality. Now the thing of it is that most of this is extremely attractive to the generations that are coming up. The generations that are coming up are basically looking for some way that they can act out their fantasies or their emotions without consequence. And so in virtual reality, they can get into a war, and they can take weapons, and they can kill, and they can slash, and they can do whatever they want to do. And of course, it's only a game. And so when they take off their goggles or whatever, there's no consequence for the things that they've done, for their actions. And I really believe that this is part of the basis for what we're seeing today in our cities, in our larger cities, with the anarchy that's going on. And I know I speak about this, but it troubles me a lot when I see pictures of people going into high-end clothing stores and walking out with thousands and thousands of dollars worth of clothing and not paying for anything. I saw a video clip of these two women that came out of a grocery store with over $2,000 worth of meat, and they were putting it into their trunk, into the trunk of their car. And the salespeople were saying, "You can't do that, you can't do that." And they kept right on doing it, and they drove off. And there's something inside that says, that's not right. They shouldn't be allowed to do that. That's not right. But you see, we've almost created a generation that basically thinks that they have a right to do whatever they feel like doing, and that there are no consequences for what they do. You know, the Bible teaches something completely different. And if they would look at the Bible, if they would read the Bible, they would know that there is an Almighty God who's watching everything that they do. We're told in Scripture that every person, every individual, will be held accountable for their actions, for the things that they do. In fact, we're told that we will reap what we sow. We will reap the things that we sow. I remember hearing a Bible teacher, somebody that I admire a great deal, who made this statement: We reap what we sow, more than we sow, and later than we sow. And I had to think about that a lot and make sure that it was lining up with Scripture, but it does. It is what the Bible teaches. We reap what we sow, we reap more than we sow, and we reap later than we sow. Just so happens that right now we're in the season of the year where many of us are sowing seed into our garden. And so we have to be very careful about the kind of seed that we're using. In fact, people all over the United States right now are concerned about a food shortage, and more people are sowing gardens. You know, back during the Depression, they had things called victory gardens. World War II, same thing. The victory gardens, people were growing food in 5-gallon buckets. They were growing food wherever they could because they knew that they couldn't just go to the grocery store and buy whatever they wanted. But they had to be careful about what kind of seed they were putting into the ground. And that's what it means when it says we reap what we sow. You know, seed reproduces after its own kind. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, it says this. It says, "And God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth. And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its own kind. And God saw that it was good." And so we know that when we plant seed, when we plant spinach seeds, we're going to get spinach plants that come up. When we plant okra seeds, we're going to have okra that comes up. But we have to be careful about that seed to make sure it's the right kind. I think some time ago I mentioned something that happened in the first church that I pastored. There was a deacon in that church by the name of Johnny Holt. And Johnny had 2 acres of ground just on the outskirts of the city. And he was a mail carrier, and he wanted to earn a little bit extra money, so he thought that he would plant 2 acres of yellow squash. And so he planted the 2 acres, and everything came up. And he was so proud of that, and he was already counting the money he was going to put in the bank from the sale of all this squash. And when it came time for the fruit to begin bearing, he realized that instead of squash seed, he had been sold gourd seeds. and he had 2 acres of gourds, totally worthless. The plants look exactly the same, but the fruit is different. Jesus taught his disciples almost a very similar statement. It's Matthew chapter 7, verses 16 and 7. It says this: "You'll recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, and the diseased tree bears bad fruit." And Jesus was saying, you know, you're going to know what kind of tree it is or what kind of plant it is by the fruit that it bears. And the very same thing holds true spiritually, and that is that you can tell what's in a person's heart by what's coming out of their life. In Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, it says this: "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will be what he reaps. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." That's what we're told. We reap what we sow. Whatever we sow in our lives, that's what we're going to reap. And if we're busy sowing hatred, jealousy, unforgiveness, that's what we're going to reap in our lives. There's no getting away from it. In fact, one person even said, you know, if you're going to sow wild oats, don't bother praying for crop failure. Because the truth is, it's a principle. We are going to reap what we sow. That's why we're encouraged throughout Scripture to sow to the Spirit, to sow the things that lift up the name of Jesus Christ, to build, constantly building and never tearing down, lifting one another up, strengthening one another. And as we do that, that's what we will reap. That's the principle that's there. What does it mean to sow to the flesh? Well, we're told that in Scripture too. You know, in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21, it says this: "Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. And I warned you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." You see, this is what's being sown in our culture today. These are the things that are being sown in our society today. We have almost a whole generation of young people that think that they can do whatever they want and not suffer any consequences at all. They want to go to college, and so they take out a college loan, and they sign their name that, yes, I will pay this back. And then when it comes time to pay it back, they're screaming and yelling that it should be forgiven. Somebody else should have to pay that debt, not them. You see, that's not right. They've given their word. They've signed their name, but they don't want to honor it. They don't think they should have to. Well, we reap what we sow. And at some point, they will pay for what they owe, even if they don't want to. That's what it means to sow to the flesh. Well, what about sowing to the Spirit? Well, that's a lot easier. Paul says when we sow to the Spirit, we sow things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And as we sow those things, that is what we reap in our lives. Now, you know, the hard thing is that when we see people that have sown to the flesh all their life begin to pay the price for that as they grow older, it's very painful. It's very painful. I have no doubt at all that in the future, in the weeks, months, years to come, we're going to see people that have sown to the flesh here in the United States of America, even in our government, who have done things that they knew were wrong, but they went ahead and did it anyway. And when it comes time to pay for what they've done, people are going to be sad about that, and that's natural, that's normal. But we also have to recognize that God is a just God, and he causes people to reap what they've sown. It's a principle. These individuals had the option to do what was right when the time came, and they chose not to. They chose to make unholy alliances, and they will pay for that. Not because of men, not because of vindictiveness, but because you reap what you sow. It's a natural consequence of life, and they will pay. Also, we not only reap what we sow, but we reap more than we sow. I mean, let's face it. If you only got back the same seed that you put into the ground, what would be the sense of it? But in our minds, we sow more seed because we want a bigger harvest. Now, we're not talking here about prosperity gospel. You know, we're not sowing the seed and reaping the harvest. That is a biblical principle, but not the way it's being explained. If you're a farmer or if you're a gardener, in your mind, you can picture a bumper crop. You can picture gathering this on the day when you're going to reap everything, when you're going to harvest your hard work. And you can think about it and what you're going to do with all those tomatoes, what you're going to do with all that squash, what you're going to, you're thinking about those things. I remember in that same church where Johnny Holt was one of the deacons, I remember that there was an area behind the house where I was living, and it was an area that I could use. And I had one of the men in the church come over and plow it up. And I went to this co-op, and I wanted to buy a couple of tomato plants. Well, they were selling bundles of tomato plants. These were for farmers. This is a farm community. And so I bought a bundle, and that bundle probably cost $2 or $3, just a bundle about that big. And so I started to plant those tomato plants. There were 150 of those tomato plants. I had so many tomatoes, I didn't know what to do with tomatoes. I mean, you know, and that, typically that's what happens in the spring, and you're thinking about how delicious those tomatoes are. You just, well, I need to plant a lot of these because I'm going to eat a lot of these. Well, we tend to lose sight of that. But the truth is that we reap more than what we sow. And that's true whether it's good or evil. This is what 2 Corinthians 9:6 says. Sometimes we use this in our offerings. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says, "The point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." Here's another principle that Scripture gives us. And that works for good or for evil. If you sow bountifully the good things, the encouraging things, the things that lift up one another, the things that bless God and bless his people, you're going to reap that bountifully. And if you sow to the flesh, if you sow evil, you'll reap that bountifully. That's just a principle of life. Well, Bible says that if we sow to the Spirit, from the Spirit we'll reap eternal life. Some people call that trading up. We're spending ourselves in this life so that we will reap eternity, reap eternal life. And that's a blessing. And not only do we reap what we sow, we reap more than we sow, and we also reap later than we sow. In due season, we will reap. And again, a farmer, a gardener, anybody like that knows that you put the seed in the ground and you wait for the rains to come. And then little by little, you start to see the plants pop up. And it's always a joy when that happens, when you start to see those little stalks come up or those little plants break through the ground. It's always a joy. But we reap later than we sow. There's time that has to pass. And that's why people think that they can do whatever they want to do and get away with it. That they'll never be caught. It'll never happen. But they will pay. And the reason they will is because God is faithful. and we reap what we sow. You know, the world always mocks Christians, always makes fun of Christians. And their slogan is, you only live once in life, so grab all the gusto you can. And then look at Christians and they say, you know, you live such pitiful lives. You're just Puritans. All you want to do is read the Bible and go to church. You know, you need to get out and enjoy life. You need to go out and have a good time. Go out and do the things that we're doing. That's where the fun is. Gosh, we saw something just yesterday, I think it was, or the day before, about this young girl that said, no, she said, I was very religious, but I finally came to the conclusion that Christians just don't have any fun. So I bagged it all, and I just went out and had fun, did what I wanted to do. Got to feel sorry for her, because the time is coming when she'll have to pay. She'll reap what she's sown. God is always faithful to his word. He's always faithful. And the truth is that we may reap some now, but we reap more later. You know, it's a famous saying. People say, you know, if I knew I was going to live this long, I would have taken better care of myself when I was younger. Why are they saying that? Because you reap what you sow. From a personal standpoint, most of you know that I struggle with my knees. I have bad knees. I have bad knees because when I was in my 40s, I lived in Colorado, and I decided that I was going to be a skier. Now, being a skier is great when you're in your 20s. But when you're in your 40s, it's not a very smart thing to do. And so in my pursuit of being a great skier, I blew out both of my knees. And for a long time, I couldn't walk at all. And little by little, things healed until I could still get around. But the orthopedic surgeon that I was working with told me, he said, you know, when you get older, you're going to have problems with your knees. And you see, I sowed to the flesh at that point, but I didn't reap it until years later. I'm reaping it now because of the pain that I go through. I'm reaping it now. Well, that's a principle in life. You know, we think we're getting away with these things, but as we get older, as time passes, we have to begin paying the price. And sometimes the price is very, very steep for the things that we've done. But the same is true also for God's faithfulness, that when we reap to the, when we sow to the Spirit, God is also faithful over time to increase our blessing over time. There's a principle that's called redemption lift, and it's something that Christian sociologists have been watching, and that is that in the inner city churches where the Word of God has been faithfully preached and proclaimed and people are surrendering their hearts and their lives to the Lord, they start to be lifted up, that over time they start driving better cars, they start having their houses redone, redecorated, and their whole style of life begins to change. It's being lifted up. And over time, they leave that area and they go out to the outskirts and they buy newer homes, and then other people take their place, and the same thing happens. That's called redemption lift. And that's God honoring his word. That's God letting people reap what they've sown. They've sown righteousness, and out of that they will reap a reward of righteousness. And let's face it, that's what we want as believers. That's what we're hungering for, is to see God's hand at work in our midst. God also promises that this will culminate in our ultimate reward, and that is eternal life, being with him forever. And you know, the thing of it is, he says in the end, he says, don't grow weary in doing these things. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, he said, and let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. To me, it's always sad when I see people giving up, getting discouraged, Oh, I've worked hard. I've done all these things, and I don't seem to be getting anywhere. And all I can say is, don't give up. Don't give up. If you have problems, difficulties, then work through them. Work through it. You know, our church is a family. Each church should be a family. But our church is a family. And I've never known any families that didn't have internal problems. None. But they look at one another and they say, well, you know what? You're my brother. You're my sister. I'm going to have to live with you for the rest of my life here on earth. So I'm going to work this thing through. I'm going to get it through. We don't just change families. We work through it. And we ask God to bless us and to give us understanding, and we pray for one another. Let us not grow weary in doing good. And especially those of the household of faith. That's what Paul tells us. You know, there's a passage in Revelation chapter 20 that should concern everyone, every believer. And it's something that happens at the very end in what's called the Great White Throne Judgment. This is when everything is culminated. This is the end. And this is what John says. This is Revelation chapter 20, beginning in verse 12, and it says this. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead and those who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. This is where we as believers have a great advantage, because we have an advocate. We have one who stands for us, because we will be judged guilty. But we have one who's already paid the price, one who is already satisfied the debt. And when we come before our Heavenly Father, when we come before God on that great white throne judgment, our advocate will say, it's paid. But for all others in this world, that's a day of reckoning. That's a day when they will be judged for what they have done. They will reap what they've sown in their life. It should be something that causes us to come before the Lord and call upon Him. Lord, I just want to live for You. In these days that we have remaining on this planet, before we go to be with Him, that we need to take every opportunity to do what's good before the Lord, to honor Him, to strengthen one another, to lift one another up. This is essential. It's essential. We don't know how much time there is left. But whatever that amount of time is, we need to use it in building up and not tearing down. It's planting season. So the question is, what are we sowing? Let's bow as we pray. Our gracious Father, again, we are grateful and thankful that You are a merciful God. We're thankful, Lord, that You give us these little times, these little moments for us to search our hearts and our lives, to see whether we're building up or tearing down, to see if we're sowing to the flesh or sowing to the Spirit. Lord, we ask and pray that our hearts would be in Your hands, and that we would do everything within our ability and our power to live our lives for You. And we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now for our closing hymn, if you would, take your hymnal and turn to 179. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Please stand.
Thank you.
off the benediction. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and abide with those who love him. Amen.